get right into the lesson. It's entitled Signs of the End Time. It's dealing with the last days. And I'd like to read again the key verse. It's found in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? This is a great question. And they were very much concerned about the end of the world and the coming of the Lord when he returns again. And the disciples asked the Lord, What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now we do not know the day nor the hour in the which the Son of Man shall come. I do not follow the teaching of date setters because we do not know the day nor the hour in the which the Son of Man shall come. But I am convinced of this one thing, and I say I'm convinced because of the authority of the Word of God, that He is coming again. I said He is coming again. Many scriptures will prove that. I was looking last night in this study concerning the coming of the Lord, and in the Hebrew letter that Paul addressed to the Hebrew Christians, there's three things he said. Christ has appeared. That means when he came the first time through the medium of the virgin birth. Then Paul said, He doth appear. That means he has appeared in heaven in the presence of God for us, the scripture said. And then, thirdly, he said, And the Lord will yet appear. He has appeared on earth through the virgin birth. He ascended into heaven. He poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, which was the promise of the Father, but yet he will appear in person, to gather unto himself his own peculiar treasure, that is, his church, his body, and that is made up of a body of baptized believers in Jesus Christ. Now, John chapter 14, and you hear this read at many funeral services, but let me give it to you today, John chapter 14. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, what about the signs of the end time? Mark chapter 13 and verse 29. Jesus said, When you see these things come to pass, you will know that my coming is nigh, even at the doors. Now, when something gets as close to you as your door, that's mighty close. That's mighty close. And the Lord said he was going to give us signs that would take place before he returned. That's why I'm trying to tell you that we do not set dates and we do not say that he's coming in April or May or June. We do not say that. We do not know the day, the month, and the year. We do not know the hour in the which the Son of Man shall return. But you can rest assured that he is going to return. Just as sure as he went away into the heavens, and the heavens received him, just that sure you can say that he's going to return again. Now here's the attitude of a lot of people, and it was the attitude of people in Bible days. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days, scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? Now that was the attitude of people when Peter addressed this letter to a group of Christians. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now that's the attitude today. Somebody will tell me, I have heard this preached for 50 years. I've heard it preached for 60 years, and the Lord has not returned yet. Let me tell you, if you've heard it 50 years or 60 years, you are just 60 years closer to the rapture now than when you heard it the first time. Now they will say, where is the promise of His coming? Scoffers walking in their own lust. That means men that are governed by their own passions. Number two, ruled by their evil desires. Now let me notice, where's the promise of His coming? I have two translations on that. What has become of the promise that He would appear? Where is His promised return? Well, if you'll open up the Bible, you'll find that He has promised to return. He said, if I go away, I will return. Acts chapter 1 proves that the disciples saw Him as He ascended into the heavens. And just as sure as the heavens received Him, just that sure, one day at the sound of the trump of God, He shall appear. Now notice, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. The scripture said that those that look for Him, He will appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now that scripture has baffled the minds of a lot of people. What does this mean? He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. First, a second time apart from sin will He appear. Now the first time He appeared on earth, He came to bear our sins. He came to die for our sins. The scripture said He was made sin. Now, not that He sinned, but He was made the sin offering. But when He appears the second time, He's not coming back to bear our sins. He's not coming back to die again. He's not coming back to be crucified again. But He's coming back to gather unto Himself His own purchased possession, which is His church, His bride. That's why He's coming. Now, another translation, shall show Himself the second time with no reference to sin. He's not coming back to die for your sins. He's not coming back to deal with sin. He's not coming back to bear sin. He's already done that. When He became the sacrifice, He's already died for our sins. He was buried and rose again for our justification. And just as sure as He arose for our justification, He's coming back for those that He has justified and sanctified. So, church, we still have hope today. Hallelujah. Now, He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That means to bring them final salvation, but to bring full salvation, to make their salvation complete. Now, when the Lord saved us, you know, He didn't save your physical body. You still hurt. You still got pains. And some of you are very well acquainted with old arthritis and rheumatism and gout. He did not redeem your body when He redeemed your soul. But when He appears again, He's going to take care of our body. We're going to have a new body. We're going to have a body like Him. For we shall see Him as He is, the Bible said. So here we are. We're going to be completely made whole in the resurrection. The Lord asked a man one time, He said, wilt thou be made whole? One day it's going to be. The Lord is working on us today. He's already taken care of the salvation of our souls, but one day when He appears, He's coming to make our salvation complete. We'll have a new body. We'll have a new life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. A man heard the Pentecostal message for the first time, and we used to sing a song, I'll have a new body and I'll have a new life. And he misunderstood some of the words in the song. He went home. He said, I'm going to join that church. Somebody said, why? He said, they're singing a song. I'll have a new body and I'll have a new wife. We will have a new life. That's what the Bible is teaching. When our salvation shall be made complete, when he returns again. And it's going to take his return to make us complete. Now, what is the attitude of people in this day concerning the coming of the Lord? I've seen the times when you could preach a sermon on the coming of the Lord. There wouldn't be a dry eye in the house. There would not be a sinner left in the pews of that place where you were preaching. They would run to the altar. They'd cry. They'd pray. They would repent. And they'd get right with God. But you can preach today, preach your heart out on hellfire and brimstone and the coming of the Lord and the power of Satan. And a lot of folks will shrug their shoulders and say, I've heard it. What does it amount to? That's the attitude of people today. Now, let me notice what Jesus spoke concerning the attitude. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42 through 51. I'm going to read 9 verses. And let me tell you one thing. Your attitude is going a long way in saving you. Here it is. You listen to this. This ought to stir your heart. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, get this, my Lord delayeth his coming. That's the attitude of the evil servant. Oh, I've heard it so many times until it makes no impression on me. You know, people think that's real smart, that the gospel has no effect on them anymore. Let me tell you, when you hear a gospel sermon, when you read your Bible and attend a service, if that does not do something for you, you'd better check around and see if everything's all right in your life. But the evil servant will say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. Oh, I got plenty of time. That's why the Lord did not tell us when he was coming, so that we would stay on our knees and not drink with the drunken. Stay as far as you can from sin and the world. You're going to need all of God's holiness in your soul that you can get. But here's the attitude. My Lord delayeth his coming and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with a drunkard. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now that's the attitude when Jesus spoke these words. That evil servant said, my Lord delayeth his coming. That's the spirit of the age. Matthew 24 defines the signs yet shall reveal the end time. Now, Matthew chapter 24 is a great chapter in the Word of God. A lot of sermons used to be preached from that, because it defines the signs that shall reveal the end time. Now, verse number 3. When shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now, this draws us to 3 areas of prophecy. First, the physical evidence of the end time. Secondly, signs in the church. at the end time. Thirdly, signs of the end time in the world. If we believe His word, we are looking for the Lord. There are signs in the church. There are physical signs. Then there are signs in the world that He's coming. And He's coming soon. Now, the events happening in a troubled world is teaching us of the approaching end time. And those signs are many. Let me just point out eight that you can find in the world right now. If you read your newspaper, I'll tell you what you can do. You can take your newspaper in one hand and the Bible in the other hand, and you will be convinced that these are the last days. I don't see why people can't understand that. Did you know that the devil is a wise, evil spirit? He knows his time is short, and he's trying to get as many as he can to follow him. Now, I'm going to give you eight signs in the world that the Lord is coming soon. First, in Europe, there's a revival of power. Number two, there's strife in the oil-rich countries. Number three, world weather problems. You've never seen such weather. Number four, world food shortage. 450 million people are suffering today from malnutrition and starvation. 450 million. Number five, there's an increase in earthquakes each year. Number six, pollution of air, water, and land. I heard last night on the news that they have dumped all of these toxic waste dumps. It's going to take 50 years to clean up these waste dumps. Plus, not only the cost will run into millions, but billions of dollars. Now, what they're going to do in the 50 years that they're trying to clean it up, what are they going to do with all of the other waste that they're going to come in contact with? And what are they going to do with it? What has happened is that these waste dumps has filtered into the ground, and it has affected our water supply. Everything about us is polluted. Used to be clean streams, clean air, and clean land, but no more. The air is polluted. The land is polluted. And the streams and the oceans are so polluted today. That's a sign. The scripture said that these things would happen in the last day. Now, number seven is the numbering system. Everything is going computer. Every man, woman, and child in this world will have a number. In Hong Kong, we bought something and I didn't know. He said, have you got a credit card? I said, a pocketbook full. He said, which one would you like to use? Well, I said, the Visa. And I thought, being over there, that, man, they wouldn't know nothing about me. He just punched that computer in Hong Kong, and in about 2 minutes, he had my name and record. And you can't go nowhere now. They know who you are. They can stop you out here, and if you look suspicious, it won't take them 5 minutes. If you come from New York or New Jersey, wherever you come from, they'll know exactly who you are and what you've been doing. And you ain't going to get by either. You know what's happening? This world is ripe for the Antichrist. I said this world is ripe for the Antichrist. The system of numbers. Number eight, forming of a world monetary system. It's on its way. It's on its way, friend, and there's no way that we can get around it. And Jesus simply said, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. I talked to a man the other day that is a financial advisor. I preached in a place that night, and he sat down at the table, and he talked to me, and we got to talking about world conditions. And he said, if you got a bill, he said, I'd like to show you what they're fixing to do. There was a time when this Federal Reserve note, you got a gold certificate. The next thing came along was a silver certificate. Up here, it's a Federal Reserve note. That's on your bill. But he said when they print the new money, that will be left off. So in other words, you can have a pocket full of money and you've got a pocket full of paper. And it can go down the drain any time. The banks are in trouble. If you read your newspaper, you know that. Banks are going broke. But when that bank in Chicago like to went under, the government came to the rescue. They said it would never do to let that bank go down. If they did, everybody would lose faith in the banking system. You see, the monetary system of this world today is shaky. I read quite a bit, and this all was supposed to have come to a head last spring. But this man said what they did was they papered it over. Just papered it over and got by for a while. But he said the final day of reckoning is going to come, and it won't be too long. You see, this whole thing is shaking. Everything about us is shaking. Nobody knows the answer to the problems. But the church does. We're looking up. I said we're looking up. Now, Luke describes it like this. He gives two descriptive words. First, commotion. He said there would be commotions. Luke 21. And 9, and also verse 25 of Luke. Then secondly, perplexity. Now let's notice that the word commotion, it denotes a state of disorder. Did you ever hear anybody say that in my neighbor's house last night I heard a commotion? They're having a family fight. That means a commotion. Two ladies were talking over the backyard fence one day, and they were talking about when they got married. Well, one of them said, I got married by a justice of the peace. The other lady said, the commotion that I heard in your house last night, I thought you got married by the Secretary of War. But commotions, now the Lord said in the last days there would be commotions. Commotions that denotes a state of disorder, disturbance, confusion, violent, or turbulent. That's the meaning of the word commotion. Then perplexity. That means puzzling. At a loss of how to proceed with things. The sense of being at one's wit's end, at a loss for a way. These are the physical signs. This morning I heard on the news that 15,000 young people are living on the streets in Houston, Texas today. 15,000. They have resorted to drugs and prostitution in order to live and keep body and soul together. Then here we are sending help all over the world to the starving. And here we are in America. Look at the young people that's going to hell today because they have nowhere to live, nothing to do. They've got to have a living somewhere. Why can't charity begin at home? The vice president now is making a tour of some of the nations that are starving to death. And we're sending food by the tons. And a lot of those nations that we are helping hates our guts today as America. See, everything is out of kilter. There's nothing in balance. They are at a loss for a way to solve the problems. The world, all nations find themselves in the exact position at this time. They don't know which way to go. And the president has warned us that all these talks now they're going to have, he said, don't expect too much. I'm not expecting anything really good to come out of it. I'll tell you why. There's two superpowers, and they've got their heads pushed against each other. And just whoever can bump the hardest. And Russia has said that these two questions about the arms race and about this space business where they're going to put missiles in the, they call it the War of the Stars, or Star Wars, and they said both of these have got to be put on the table at the same time. The president said it won't work. I've got my mind set. We're going to go through with this system. You see, everybody is at a loss. Wouldn't it be nice if every nation would say, let's live in peace? Quit making war material. Let's go to work and everybody feed the world and everybody can live happily. But it's not going to work because the Lord said there would be wars and rumors of wars and nation would rise against nation. Somebody said, why don't God stop the wars? He never started them. You see, men are going today without any restraint whatsoever. They're going footloose and fancy free. And you better hear me today, that spirit can get a hold of a person in the church. Now, the world is ripe for the Antichrist. The world is ripe for a Superman. The world is ripe for a problem solver. The world is looking for a way out of the trouble. But the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ is the hope of the church. In a world of commotion and disturbance, we can look up and say, thank God, our redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. 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 Now, these are the things that is taking place. And I heard again early this morning that the Texas prison system has been ordered by the court to raise the standard of living in the prisons. And you know what it's going to cost? The roaches and the rats have taken over the prison. It's going to cost $850 million to bring it up to court standard, and it's going to take 10 years to do it. Rats and roaches have taken over the prisons in Texas. Now, this is not some far-off country. I heard that on CBS News early this morning. $850 million, and it's going to take 10 years to do it. Now, what we call revenue sharing, that is the county, the city governments, the state government, got a lot of money from Washington. We sent it up there, and they in turn sent it back. But now that's being cut off. The mayors are hollering, the governors are hollering. Well, what's that going to mean when that's cut off? That means at the local level, taxes are going up. Somebody's got to pay the bills. Look at Beaumont. They may have lost $20 million in a bad investment. They said they had enough money to run the city for 90 days, 3 months. They froze all contracts, no street work, no nothing, and they don't know what in the world they're going to do. They invested this money with a concern in New York, and they in turn invested with a firm in Florida, and that thing folded up last week. And they can't find $20 million. If I was like them, I'd go to hunt it real bad. Man, if I'd have lost $20 million, I'd be looking for it, I'll guarantee you. But they don't know where it went. And you talk about commotions and disturbances. Why don't you open your eyes and see where we are? But you can live in a condition long enough until after a while, it just will become a common everyday thing and you just won't think anything about it. Used to be out in the country, small towns, and even a small city. You never heard of dope. You never heard of all that stuff going on. But now it's everywhere. It's in the country. They're raising dope in the cornfields. They will plant about 7 acres of corn and get right in the middle, you know, where nobody will find it. But they got these helicopters, and they go over there, you know, and they spot that dope down in that cornfield. They're just raising dope, coming and going, and everybody is smoking and snorting. I read some time ago where a plastic surgeon in California is making a fortune. You can, and you snort that stuff up your nose so long until it destroys the inside of your nose, and he's making a fortune rebuilding noses. Snorting coke. Let me tell you something. If men could realize the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it'll sober the drunkard. Praise God. And it'll cause the dope addict to step under the drippings of Calvary and feel the power of God when it surges through his or her body and will make him a new creature in Jesus Christ. That's what we're preaching today. Now notice carefully. The disciples asked the question, what will be the sign of thy coming? Now Jesus answered in a warning. I want you to take this with you today. It would be a time of deception. A time of deceiving. Now Jesus said, fourth verse of Matthew 24, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive you. The target of this deception is mankind. That's the target of the deception. If the disciples could be deceived, they had been with Christ. They'd seen his miracles, his power. Now, if it was a possibility for them to be deceived, how much more of a possibility is it for you and me to be deceived? I suppose that, from what I understand, a lot of preachers got this package the other day. I did. From the Unification Church. Came from the Moonies. They sent out 3 first-class tapes. They sent out 2 books. And the leader of this thing is in prison now, but he wrote a book from the prison. Then he gave the doctrine of the Unification Church. And you know what they offered to do? If you are having a crusade, if you want to help with your young people, invite the Moonies to come in and they'll be glad to help you. I'd be glad to help them. See, what they want to do is to worm their way into churches. They'll help us all right, but they'll help us out. See them on the street selling flowers. Everywhere you go, in the airports, everywhere, selling books, flowers, whatever. Unification Church. And we can hardly get people to stand on the street corner and give out tracts, much less sell tracts. How's it going? This is the last day that we're living in right now. These are the last days that we're living in right now. Now, Jesus said that men would be deceived. Now, this involves false religious practices. Everything that is religious is not necessarily right. Now, the Lord taught that many would declare the location of Christ. In reality, they are deceivers. Deceiver means leader astray. That is somebody that will lead you astray. Cubs, devil worship, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Trouble among nations, worldwide. The troubled areas of war and civil disturbances. Terrorists are on the move everywhere. One leader said we are in the beginning of World War number 3. Another said that the possibility of Armageddon is very real. I can tell whoever said that, why sure, the battle of Armageddon is very real. The Bible said it's going to be fought. And the Lord's going to win it. 2/3 of the world's population will go to bed hungry tonight. You ought to thank God the rest of your life. Every time you sit down for whatever you have to eat, you ought to thank God that you have a roof over your head and some food to eat. we should be aware of God's displeasure. Let me show you what the psalmist said in Psalms 82 and 5. He describes it under divine inspiration. He said, Psalms 82 and 5, and this is what he said. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. That's a problem. It's off course. It's out of course. It's not going according to God's plan. This thing has been turned over to man, and I want to tell you, man has made a mess out of it. But my God is able, and He will straighten it out one day. Somebody said, the Bible said, the righteous shall inherit the earth. But it said, who in the world would want it in the mess it's in? But there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, thank God. Hallelujah! There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. So don't worry about that part of it. Now notice what he said. Trouble among nations. War. Civil disturbances. Hunger on every side. The world is out of course. The scripture said the sea and the waves would roar. Hurricanes, typhoons, tornadoes, unusual snowstorms. These was all prophesied by Jesus Christ. Now, moral corruption. Let me talk about that a little bit. Corruption means bad, rotten. Corruption means a state of decay. It's a corrupt mind. People are corrupt in their mind. Corrupt in action as to a decay of morals. Things are so different now. You know what this country needs is some good old-fashioned mothers and fathers. I didn't get but two or three amens on that. Let me tell you something. In the time of Noah, it got so bad until all they thought about was evil. Sodom and Gomorrah, the same way. And let me tell you, if God Almighty lets this world get by with the condition that it's in, the sin and the evil, He's going to have to apologize for Sodom and Gomorrah when all nations are brought before the flaming judgment bar of God. As the days were in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Eating, drinking, no thought of God, no thought of tomorrow. You've heard it, and you're hearing it again today. It's time to get right. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Paul said, in the last days, perilous times will come. And I looked at five different translations, and I want you to get what I'm saying. The word perilous. Perilous times. What does it mean? Number one, there will come times of stress. How many can say amen to that today? People take a pill to go to bed by and a pill to get up by. Got to have something to go to sleep and something to wake up. Everybody you meet. I met somebody the other day. I said, how you doing? I should have never done it. But it took them 30 minutes to tell me how they was doing. I should have never said that. Yet everybody you meet is under some kind of stress. There will come times of stress. Number two, there are going to be hard times. That's perilous times. Number three, the times will be dangerous. Have we ever lived in a more dangerous time than we're living in right now? When people, young people, I'm not talking about old people. Somebody called us from our home the other day. The people that we knew, a young man and his wife were separated. He went to talk to her, shot her three times, turned a gun on himself. These young people. Then right across the way, there was a man 72 years old, and his wife was 69. And the woman always got up early, but the man got out early that morning, and talking to his grandson, he said, where's Grandma? Oh, said, she's sleeping late today. She's in bed. Then in a little while, the daughter checked on them every morning by phone. Called, and the daddy answered the phone. She said, "Where's Mama?" He said, she went out to the neighbor's house. In a few minutes, the neighbor heard a shot. And he called the daughter and said, "There's something going on. She's at daddy's house. You better come over here." Now, that was just this past week. Oh, said, "I just talked to daddy. Everything's fine." Said, "You better come over here." And when they walked in, he was laying there with half of his head shot off. And they went and looked in the bed, and his wife, he had cut her throat from ear to ear. 69 and 72. Happened the same morning that this young man shot his wife. She has a 50-50 chance to live. One bullet went in her, through the back of her head and out over her eye. I don't know how she's living, but she's a backslider. And you better take warning from what I'm telling you today. We don't need to get away from God. We need to get real close to God. That's right. We need to get real close to God. Hallelujah. We need to come together and pray and fast and talk to God like we never have before. Because, listen, stress can drive you crazy if you don't conquer it. It'll do it. And that's exactly what the Bible said about perilous times. Now, number four, the final age of this world is to be a time of troubles. Number five, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Perilous times means a time of stress, means hard times, means dangerous times. It means times of trouble, difficult times. That's what it's talking about. Then Paul, I won't have time to do all of this, but you read when you get home, 2 Timothy chapter 3. There's 18 signs that he gave after he said there'd be perilous times. Then he said in the last days, 18 things would happen. And I just want to point out two or three in the closing moments of this service. First, disobedient to parents. Here is what another translation said. Parents no longer have control of their children. Did you know the court records prove that? Now, I'm just giving you the truth and the facts. The court records will prove that. Now, there are two groups of children. One group has been taught restriction and restraint. Others have few, if any, rules to govern them. They come and go as they please. A lady told me right here in this church, she said, "I'm not going to force my child to come to Sunday school. Let it make up its own mind." I said, "Do you let your child make up its own mind about going to public school?" "No, I want my child to get an education, and I make it go." I said, "It needs some spiritual instruction in the church." Let me tell you something. Children, these that have no rules, nothing set to govern them, turn them loose with a set of wheels, and you'll find out what will happen. Now notice, they come and go as they please, as they want to. Now, to parents. Now this is what it said. Disobedient to parents. To parents unyielding. They will not yield to authority in the home. Number two, with no respect for parents. That's what the other translations say when it says disobedient to parents. Used to be, "Honey, you're not going out tonight," or "Shut up your mouth, Ma. I'll go out when I want to, and I'll come back when I take a notion." But the trouble is, Ma goes out before Sally does. That's a big problem. You almost got to run the mother down before you run the children down. Blessed quietness. But you know it's the truth. Listen, I'm just coming right down the line with it, whether we like it or not. To parents unyielding, going against the authority of their father. Spirit is in the world right now. Now, because of disobedience, look what happened. Did you know that Adam lived about 800 years because of disobedience? Did you know that God cut that from 800 years? He cut it down to 120 in the time of Noah. And do you know what he's cut it down to now because of disobedience? The average life of a man will be about 70. We could have lived a long time if we had not developed in us a spirit of disobedience. Amen? Now, one more. Without natural affection. Now, Lord, listen, friend. Don't throw no rotten tomatoes at me now. Please save your eggs for breakfast. Don't let me have none of them right now. Without natural affection. You know what that means? Lacking in love for kinsmen. Lord, I could say, listen. I guess I know too much. I know too much about people. It seems like everything I say hits somebody. And they think I'm talking to them. And I am, because I know too much about people now. Well, listen, there's a lot of grown-up men and women who do not respect their parents. And the Scripture said that would happen. Lacking in love for kinsmen. I'm kin to him, but I sure don't like him. Number two, hard-hearted, unforgiving, without natural affection. Number three, inhuman. Did you know that parents are killing their children? Choking them to death? Everything under God's shining sun. How much more will I have to preach to convince you that these are the last days? Parents care no more for their children. Listen, if you love your children, you're going to do your best to keep your hand on them until you can guide them in the right way, if you love your children. Now, number four. Are you ready? Without natural affection. That's without love. Never forgiving an enemy. Never forgiving anybody. Anybody that does anything to you, I'll see him dead and in torment before I'll ask forgiveness. You'll get there first, my friend. And you wait for him till he gets there and you'll see how foolish you've been. Suppose God had an unforgiving spirit about him, where would we be today? I said, where would we be today if God had an unforgiving spirit? He forgives us. And we ought to have enough of the Spirit of Christ in us to forgive our fellow man. I don't know how well I've done, but I've given to you the Word of the Lord. Will you stand with me right now? God bless you. You stand right now. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Would you lift your hands to the Lord and let's praise Him. Let's praise the Lord right now. Let's praise the Lord right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. My God, we thank You. We thank You. We thank You. We praise Your name, Lord. We praise Your name. We praise You, Jesus. We praise You, Master. Give us courage, Lord, in Jesus' name. Give us grace in this hour. Let the love of God be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. I have said this many times, and I'd like to tell you again. You might not realize this, but you will
one day. And if you haven't already, you should have. Whether we like to admit it or not, we get a lot of our strength from each other. That's why the Scripture said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is, as you see the day approaching. I want to say this to all of you. I'm in no hurry. Unless you have a reason for not being here, every time these church doors are open, you should be here to get strength for your soul. And I know this will happen if you don't like somebody. And God in heaven knows, I know everybody don't like me. I'm not crazy. I might look stupid, but I'm not. Everybody don't like me. But you know, whoever is behind this pulpit to preach or teach the Word of God, whether you like it or not, whether you like the messenger or not, you should be here for the Bible. You'll get something out of something they say. I don't care who it is. You'll get something. And I wonder what would happen if I could get everybody here at the same time. We might blow this place up. But this is it. That's the spirit of the age. No restraint. No restriction. I'll do as I please. That's not the spirit of the Lord. You know, Jesus was obedient to death. Even the death of the cross, he was obedient. And if you're living without guidelines, if you're living without restraint, James asked the question, why do you put a bit in the horse's mouth? Simple. Why do you see a bit in the horse's mouth? To guide him. Tell him when to stop. Then you relax and he's gone. The reins are there to guide. My daddy had an old mule. He was as contrary as the devil himself. And my daddy bought a pair of bits. On one side they were slick. The other side was bicycle bits. And that mule recognized, when my daddy tried to be good to him, he would recognize those slick bits in his mouth. And he'd try to run away. And what happened when he got him calmed down, he just turned those bits over and put the bicycle bits there. And when he began to put on those reins, that left blood. And somebody wondered why in the name of God they're in a mess they're in. You know why? God's trying to put a stop. God's trying to put a stop to some things that you are doing that's not right. And you better thank God for bicycle bits. Don't run away when he's good to you. Don't think that he's condoning sin. Don't think that. Never get that in your mind. He's not. He's never honored sin and never will. So when the Lord pulls on the reins, just stop. Well, the psalmist said, stop and consider your ways. Just stop for a minute. Now, Lord, let me have the slick side of those bits. And I'll do what you want me to do. He has a way of stopping us, right? And he will stop us. Praise the Lord. That's extra. I didn't charge you a thing for that. That's all free.